I've been watching the Beatles documentary Get Back, where it's just them sort of making an album.
What's that documentary like, by the way?
In turns, tedious and captivating.
Yeah. My worry about it was that, because obviously the Beatles feel quite magical, you know, as an idea and as a group, and quite like, wow.
But then when you watch one of them eating toast, do you feel like it's going to ebb away?
That's my worry. If it's 8 hours, then they do just become like your mates or your colleagues. It's like, fucking hell. Absolutely sick of George at the moment.
Is it warts and all then? Are they showing them sort of pausing for a cheese and pickle sandwich and things like that?
Mid-record. Yeah. I think literally some cheese and pickle sandwiches at some point.
Wow.
So do they start to like irritate you? Do you start getting annoyed with the way like George plays, you know, with his mouth open?
Okay, this is my take on it, right? Ringo seems like the nicest man on earth. Mm-hmm. Just so placid, like a sort of placid dog. You know those dogs you get where they'll sit happily under a pub chair and just sort of be well-behaved, and they'll occasionally look up at you with like lovely little eyes, and you'll just ruffle their hair.
And you've not been preconditioned to believe that just because he narrated Thomas the Tank Engine?
No. That's generally what he's like. He's just a very placid, occasionally yawns, but in a kind of adorable way. He's absolutely adorable.
Is he avuncular?
No, because he doesn't say very much. Yeah. He just sits there sort of happily behind his drums, just sort of grinning.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, the drumming bit of the Beatles, I know this is like a well-worn thing, but he doesn't seem like he's doing that much.
I don't know that that is a well-worn thing, you know. Well, it is a well-worn thing, but I think it might be a wrong well-worn thing.
Oh, it's wrong?
Because I've heard other drummers who sing his praises.
Every professional drummer thinks he's incredible. Yeah, but what happens is, Paul McCartney comes in with a song that he's written. They'll all be working out their parts, and Ringo's just tapping out a beat, and it takes him about 10 seconds to think about it. Mm. And then he has a beer, and then he yawns. Anyway, he's adorable.
I think he has the best life that anyone's ever had, doesn't he? He got to be in the Beatles without having to particularly push himself. Do you know what I mean?
I think
he
got
to experience that just sort of, while just basically being a sort of average, nice bloke.
Do you remember when he said that he didn't want any more fan mail a few years ago?
Oh, yeah.
He did that video. He was going, peace and love, guys. I love getting your letters, but no more. He just had enough. Done.
Too much love.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he is middle of the road. I think I don't know about drumming, but what I gather from drummers is that he was really bloody good, but he's just a bit...
He is a top drummer, but it is effortless, is what I'm saying.
Exactly, yeah. He hides his light under a bushel.
It's in him. He's amazing, and he doesn't have to do much. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's bad.
Because that dog in that pub, not anyone could do that. It looks like they could, because it looks like that dog is just lying on the floor near the fire, occasionally sort of blinking its big doughy eyes.
But other dogs would get restless, wouldn't they, eventually?
Other dogs would get fidgety.
Tell other people to get stuffed if they get tickling them behind the ears and they've never met them before.
Other dogs would get a kind of artistic Japanese girlfriend, which they would bring to the pub every day, despite all the other dogs not really wanting it to be there.
Yeah, a pretentious little shih tzu. Yeah.
She comes out of it quite well, actually. She seems quite nice.
Yeah, I think it turns out she was quite nice all along.
And wasn't really, like, before I thought, the story before was that she would get involved and was kind of meddling and things, but she just sits there and smiles and has a nice time.
Was it just the forked tongue of jealous fans then that fueled that reputation?
I don't know. I guess she was a useful scapegoat, maybe. I mean, it was a bit odd that she was there the whole time, but it doesn't seem like she's too much of a problem. Mike, have you ever taken Pam to the pub?
Yes.
Does she sit placidly underneath the table?
No. She she didn't cover herself in glory.
What happened?
Well, I mean, it's a while ago actually now since she's been to a pub, but she just wanted to get in amongst it. Do you know what I mean? She wanted to know who everyone was. She wanted to shout at everyone. She wanted to eat their pizzas that they'd got from a nearby pizza van. She wanted to knock over their drinks.
It's so not Ringo, that, is it?
Put muddy paw prints on the crotch of their trousers. That's what she wanted to do.
That's very, I would say it's very John Lennon. Mm.
That's very Lennon.
She's a very Lennon sort of dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that a lot.
Anyway, so Ringo's like the dog under the chair. Mm-hmm. John Lennon is just so cool. Mm-hmm. Just the coolest man on earth. Yeah. Isn't trying too hard. Really funny guy. Mm. Really beautiful man. long hair, cool glasses,
iconic face, like
his own face. You know,
was his face iconic at the time, or did that happen later? You know, like, he's literally, you know, to have a face that iconic, it'd be like me walking around with, you know, with a sort of Charlie Chaplin mask on or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was literally wearing a sort of, he was literally wearing a tea towel, a potential tea towel design or whatever. Do you know what I mean? But on his face.
In a kind of Che Guevara way.
Mm-hmm. Almost, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Did he have that look? And did he have the round glasses and the sort of long hair and the kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of classic Lennon face he's doing.
Classic Lennon at that time, yeah.
So he's just super cool.
Yeah.
George is a bit spiky.
Mm.
Yeah, because he's having a bad time, because he keeps writing these incredible songs and then John Lennon's not that interested and they just think of him as... Mm-hmm. And he's getting frustrated despite the fact they're clearly absolutely brilliant.
Which songs are those? Are those ones which went on to become...
So he the song I, Me, Mine, which is very good.
Yeah. That's quite good, yeah.
He plays it for them and they kind of go, yeah, all right, John, mm-hmm. all right. And then just start dicking about. And you can tell he's really miffed because he's brought it in, you know. And then Paul McCartney.
Oh.
He's such an annoying prick.
Oh, there you go. You know, we can't put this out on the podcast, but let's keep talking anyway. I mean, that would be like... Publicly,
because we'd be killed.
Yeah, it would be like publicly decapitating Wallace and Gromit on live television. You can't. Yeah, you can't.
What it is,
but yeah. Ben is not afeard of the national treasure. Ben will naysay anything.
Oh, yeah,
he wants to naysay it. Bloody well naysay it.
Fearless.
Come on then, Ben.
I'll take down. Tell you what, watch me take down Prince Andrew.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The Queen's favourites. Are you quite mad?
Paul McCartney is the one who's working hard because he wants it to be good. He's like, he reminds me of myself, which is why I find him a bit irritating. He's a bit of a swat.
Okay, yeah.
He's
Goody
not
two shoes.
And he's trying really hard. And this is not like me. He is creating the best work, I think, at this point. But because he's trying hard and everyone else is just sort of coasting. And the coasting people are much cooler than him because he's going, yeah, come on, guys. No. Let's stop messing around now. Let's work on this part. And they're just not interested. And he's this kind of annoying perfectionist.
Mm.
And he really gets on my tits watching this.
Because you see yourself reflected.
Absolutely, 100%. And I'm not saying I'm as good as Paul McCartney at anything, but
you cross the T's and dot the I's, don't you, Ben?
That's the thing. And I will say, no, we are now. I know we're having fun, guys, and I know this is good fun. But actually, at the end of the day, we do have a podcast to make, and it's got to come out in a few days' time. So.
I understand that people have to eat, but there's too much snacking. There's just too much snacking happening, isn't there, in this process?
We're getting crumbs all over the floor. We're going to get ants. And who's going to clean up the ants? Who's going to pay for that? Are you going to? No, I know you're not going to do it. So it's going to be Muggins here, isn't it?
And who's going to get non-disclosure agreements from all of those ants individually? Hmm? Who? Who's got the time to make a clipboard that small? Hmm? Who?
But then what's worse is he can't quite go that far. So he's trying to say that stuff, but still be cool because he's in the Beatles and they're all cool. So he's like...
And the cameras are rolling.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I'm not saying that, guys. I'm not saying that... I'm not saying... We should just maybe just work on this a bit more. And he's clearly inside absolutely raging, but he's trying to be cool. It's awful. Anyway.
And they've all got that that unique... Beatles accent that no one else, I think, in the whole world has. There's a specific accent they all have.
Yeah, because no Scouser you meet these days sounds like
it's
that.
It's a sort of gentle Scouser, so it's got this kind of boop-a-doo.
They're from Dudley, secretly.
It's got a bit of Dudley in it. It is, Paul. I'm just saying that we should do that.
Like this. That's a good Paul McCartney.
Yeah. It's quite cool. So John is like... John's just super cool, is he? So who wrote most of those songs on the album?
I think Paul McCartney. Like, he writes Let It Be and Long and Winding Road. And
it's got the big ones.
Oh, poor old George.
It's really amazing, though, to watch. I think I've been a bit harsh on Paul, really. Obviously, National Treasure, and I do think he's amazing. And I think, I've only watched the first episode, but I think as it goes on, things chill out a bit more and they kind of have a bit more fun and everyone's happy again. There's also an amazing element of it, which is that the guy making the documentary, who's this very posh English guy that of a kind you don't get anymore, you know,
yeah,
should have been, you know, administrating a section of Burma. Do you know what I mean?
Colonial era.
Yeah, Brit. Absolutely.
Not even a Brit, an Englishman specifically.
Absolutely. And so this documentary maker is also in charge of the TV show they're going to make, which ends up being their performance on top of the building.
Oh, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But his idea on day one is that we're going to take you all to Libya and you're going to perform in this huge amphitheatre. Imagine it. Thousands of Arabs lit by torchlight. Glinting off the sea. And they are all just like, absolutely not. But he won't leave. He won't let the idea die. So he's just constantly going, I just think, imagine the Libyan amphitheatre. Your music bouncing off the ancient walls. Thousands of Arabs. It's just absolutely incredible.
But in the end, they just went for upstairs on top of the building.
Well, there would have been visa issues, right? Probably not everyone's remembered to bring their passport in the first place. Family commitments and so on.
It's because there's a big chunk of can't be asked throughout the entire band. So it's very clear they're not going to leave Britain, certainly.
In the end, not even the building. Yeah.
So, but when you watch it, do you sense that these were great people? This was a great... Or do you sense it was a fairly... It feels to me like what you've described is a team that would be replicated in all sort of any office, any work situation, really.
Or podcast
the world.
Team.
Or podcast. Mm-hmm. You've got your sort of dopey nice guy. You've got your moniker. That's Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Paul's moniker...
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is good. I like this.
He's probably Monica and Ross wrapped up in one, right?
Yes, yes, perfect. Yes.
Okay, so Paul's Monica with a bit of Ross. Mm-hmm. Then Lennon is you know, well, the one who plays guitar, the kind of ethereal one, what's she called?
Phoebe. Yeah, he's Phoebe mixed with the quipping of Chandler, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Phoebe with a bit of Chandler.
Which leaves Ringo as Joey. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, Ringo.
So who's George?
Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
Well, George just has to be Jennifer Aniston. And if we can't work out why, that's on us. You know what I mean? Like, he just has to be. It's a human truth.
I think that's okay. I think George, you know, RIP. I mean, no one minds being labelled Rachel, do they? You know, if you get Rachel in your BuzzFeed quiz or whatever, no one objects.
No.
Oh, look, I'm Rachel. Turns out I'm Rachel. No one minds that.
And she has an on-off thing with Ross, who is Lennon. Is that right?
No, that's Paul McCartney.
Oh, that's Paul McCartney.
And of course, there is a moment in the documentary where they go on a break when George leaves the band.
It's uncanny stuff, isn't it?
It's more and more like Friends.
Who's the German guy that runs the cafe?
Gunther.
Gunther.
Who's Gunther?
That's probably George Martin. Yeah.
George Martin.
He's the glue sticking them all together.
Who would Weird Naked Guy be?
Maybe Mungo Jerry?
Weird Naked Guy's Mungo Jerry. Yeah, so did you feel like these are great people? These are geniuses?
Yes. I think what's really clear is that they've done... I know this is like a debunked idea, but they've done their 10,000 hours.
Well, that was in...
the old Hamburg.
In Hamburg.
Are we creeping towards sort of Jaffa Cake trivia territory here? This sort of stuff.
But I think it comes across in the thing, which is that they are able to pull a great song out of their ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
From basically nothing. There's an amazing moment where Paul McCartney writes Get Back just in about 10 seconds, and he's just noodling on his bass and going... And he does that for about 30 seconds, and then maybe in another 30 seconds, he's got the entire song.
Bloody
hell. And then about... half an hour later, he's introduced it to the band and they've basically worked it out. So it's that. It's their ability just to do it very quickly is because they've done it for so long, I think.
But, no offence, that is just how you write a song, isn't it?
You could do that, couldn't you, Henry? Here we go. Just show the listeners.
Yeah.
Well, you go, You go, yeah, so you go, so here I go, I've got this little thing I'm playing around with here.
You wiggle your head a bit.
It goes, I've just been noodling around with it, you know.
Hang on, that's the theme tune to Supermarket Sweep, isn't it?
And that's how they wrote that song. Exactly, there you go, we've done it. We've written, so that's, you know, as a session musician or as a writer, as a commercial job, that's paid off, you know, that's your mortgage paid off in the next deposit, six months. Okay, so you go, okay, so yeah, so I've been messing around with this ballad on the way in today, guys. It's because often it comes to you on the way in. That's what musicians often say.
Mm-hmm.
They'll often go, oh, I was just on the way in, and I just thought to myself, you know, what if you went,
that's the theme tune to BBC's Gardener's World.
And again, we bashed out another one. What do you mean? We can now start basically planning our next holiday together. Yeah.
Do you have to then be sent out again so you can come back in again?
Yeah, normally I'd go for a walk. That's what happened. I'm sure that is how it works. I'm sure that Bowie did that in Berlin or wherever he was, in Germany. He'd go for a walk and then come back with something. You know, if it wasn't a song, it would be some snacks, or sometimes it would be both. But so then you just add the lyric in. So guys, if you just chuck some ideas around, because that's how we do it together. I said, down in here.
Down in here. Let's go, but wap, wap.
Oh, you're going scat.
Okay. I want to love you every day. I want to love you in every way.
Oh, yeah, come on.
I want to love you and hear you say, you love me too.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I want to love you on every day. I want to love you. I don't want to, I got to say, I want to love you in every way. And you're going to love me too. We're going to live in
Aldershot.
We're going to live in Woking. We're going to live in Basingstoke. We're going to live in Reigate.
It makes great sense for commuting and the rents are reasonable.
Yeah.
And your mom's only half an hour away. If we ever have a baby, she'll be able to help us out.
If we combine incomes and sell your flat, we could have a deposit just like that.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, we want to stay commutable.
Try and rhyme with commutable. You've really snookered yourself there. <Henry. laughs>
Because our love is immutable.
Oh!
And I want a garden.
Yeah.
We'll get a little dog and a little cat. We'll get a little bird and a fish in a hat.
It better be a waterproof hat, baby.
Yeah.
Got a little fish in a Gore-Tex hat.
And all I ask of you is to give up your ambitions as a painter.
There we go. Oh, Henry's right. It's a piece of piss, isn't it? It's a doddle.
Yeah. It's easy.
No, but what I'm saying is it is a sort of a piss take medium slightly to write, to make a thing. Because what, 2 or 3 minutes? Also, like, you know, all the surreal stuff. I mean, you know, is it?
I'm reading a newspaper sitting on an egg.
People in glass houses, Henry.
Do you know what I mean, though? Yeah. Yeah. No, they are very good.
There we go. He's put his neck on the line. Henry's declared.
I want to love you every day. I want to love you in every way. I want to love you and hear you say, you love me too. Yeah. I want to love you every day. I want to love you in every way. I want to love you and hear you say, you love me too. And all I ask of you is to give up your ambitions as a painter.